We're speaking with Richard G. Nelson, who is a renewable energy engineer at the National Biodiesel Board, which is located in Jefferson City, Missouri. He is speaking at APWA 2007 on biodiesel's impact on public fleet operability and economics, and he has been kind enough to consent to speak to the worldsweeper.com audience. So welcome, Richard, and thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you for the opportunity.
Richard, if you would, please tell us about the topic of biodiesel and what those in the street sweeping and parking lot sweeping industry might need to know about this rising biofuel.
Well, biodiesel is a renewable diesel fuel that's made from vegetable oils or animal fats like soybean oil or beef tallow or something like that, or even waste greases. And it can be used in any compression ignition engine. It's usually used in blend levels with the conventional number two diesel between 2% and 20%. That means that if you have a 20% blend, then 20% by volume is biodiesel and 80% is regular diesel. It has very good environmental attributes associated with it, most notably that it has less particulate matter. That's really the soot you see that comes out the exhaust of a conventional diesel engine, and has a lot less unburnt hydrocarbons and carbon monoxide as well. One thing that we found is that even in very low blend levels, like 1-5%, it restores a lot of the lubricity that is lost when you use ultra-low sulfur diesel, and we're finding that out to be a major benefit with regular biodiesel. So it's good in urban environments where they want to reduce reduce air pollution or increase air quality, mainly because of the particulate matter decreases that you get with using biodiesel.
And are there any downsides that are associated with it? There are some things that you need to do with your engines to take a look at?
There really isn't. It's right now, it's pretty much a pour-and-go technology. It always really has been a pour-and-go technology. You don't need to fiddle with your engine at all, adjusting it or anything like that. You can put the biodiesel, blended biodiesel in your tank and pretty much just take off and go like normal. Now, there are two things about biodiesel. Number one, being made from a animal fat or a vegetable oil like soybean, and soybean dominates the market completely. It's pretty much about 85 to 90% of the total biodiesel sold comes from soybeans. The biodiesel has a tendency and will gel up quicker in the winter. In other words, whatever temperature your regular number two diesel would gel up, or you're going to see cold flow problems or something like that, this stuff will gel up a little higher than that. And as long as you're aware of that and realize that, then and take precautions in the way you store it and the way you handle the biodiesel, you shouldn't have any problems. We've got people that are out in the middle of Iowa that store this stuff in above-ground tanks, insulated tanks, and they've had no problem with it at all. The second thing about biodiesel is when you first start to use it, having used diesel fuel for a long time in that vehicle, the biodiesel acts as a solvent, and it will help clean out your system and get rid of the gunk and the dirt and the deposits. And so in a very few cases, a very small percentage, but we have seen it, biodiesel cleaning out the system means you'll have to change your fuel filters out the first couple of times a little more frequently than you normally do, and after that your system will be clean and it'll run clean, and we see that predominantly at something like a B20 level. You won't see that very much at a B2 to B5 level.
Okay, so if you run 20% biodiesel or above, then you'll have that cleaning action, which is also beneficial to the engine. I've heard claims of up to twice the engine life. That is probably on an outer end, but how have you seen that? Do engines seem to last longer?
We haven't seen that. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I don't have any hard research data to that effect.
It's early for that effect. I know that is a claim that's made. And another question people have is about hoses. I've seen some literature, and as I mentioned prior to our interview, I wrote a book called The Rise of Biodiesel, so I'm familiar with the information you're passing along. One of the items is rubber hoses, that the hoses may not be suited for biodiesel, that there's a problem there. What have you seen with that?
Well, not much, but I mean, your point is valid. Most elastomers that are used after 1993, the Viton and Teflon, are compatible with the B100, therefore they'll be compatible with lower blends of B20s or the B5s or whatever.
Okay.
At the very beginning, back in the early 90s, we did see some problems, but after anything after 1993 are going to be compatible.
Okay, so there's no worries about hoses as long as that. And any other considerations that a person should have? There's no problems running biodiesel at a blend and then going away from it and coming back. The only real problem you might get, it's my understanding, is that when you're back on regular number two diesel for a length of time, you may have this fuel filter clean out that'll happen again.
That's right. You can go back and forth how often you want to do that. If you do, just remember that when you, like you said, when you go back to the regular diesel, you may add some deposits and gunk into your system over time, and then if you go back to the biodiesel, it'll clean it out as well.
So
biodiesel does have a lower energy content than number two diesel. At B100, if you compared 1 gallon of diesel to 1 gallon of biodiesel, it's about 8% less.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're finding out in tests, and it depends on how biodiesel is used, in metropolitan bus systems, for example, we don't see that much of a difference. In some other places you might, and especially if you go over B20, that energy content, that lower energy content, may show up as lower fuel economy.
Okay.
But again, the advantages you get for that versus what, you know, the small decrease in energy, I think, are overwhelming.
And what is the general price point differential these days?
Boy, it varies all over the place. Depends on where you are in the country and almost on what time of day you buy it. With the blender's tax credit that came out a couple years ago that basically said for every gallon of biodiesel you blended with regular diesel, you got $1 per gallon off your excise tax. That has really leveled the playing field. Up in Illinois, where I was a couple weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, they had paid anywhere from, I believe it was a dime less per gallon to maybe a nickel to 7 cents more a gallon. It just depends. Biodiesel is a commodity because it is derived from a commodity like soybean oil, which trades on national commodity markets. So it's a function of that to some degree. So to put a price on it, it's hard to say, but in the past it was always more expensive. You could just count on it. That was a fact of life. Now it varies all over the place. Sometimes you're going to get it cheaper, sometimes you're not.
Okay, so it's in the ballpark of the same price. And the blender's credit you're talking about is not a credit the user is getting, but it's happening prior to the pump. Is that correct?
It could be, yeah, exactly.
It's not something that an end user can use and then put in a tax credit.
No,
to get money back.
The blender's tax credit has to be from somebody who actually accepts the B100,
right,
and then blends it in with regular petroleum diesel at, you know, B20, B5,
right,
or whatever.
I wanted to make that clear so the readers or listeners in this case wouldn't think that they're going to get a dollar tax credit. They will not, but that price that they're paying has reflected whatever tax credit is current.
That's correct.
Through the blenders. If you are in a winter situation, is it B40 about the most that a person could consider using in cold weather? That's one I've seen cited. Most people I know go down to B20 to B5s during winter.
It depends if you're in Minnesota or if you're in Georgia, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And it does get cold in Georgia, and you can have cold flow problems, although they're going to be much less pronounced or less likely down there. What we find out is some people are running a B40 to a B50 in the summertime, and then they'll cut down to a B20 in the winter or something like that and cut it with kerosene as well. So it varies all over the place. I do have places, even I work a lot in the mining industry, and we're finding that some of their outdoor vehicles, they just use B20 year-round. It's not
mm-hmm.
that big a deal. And again, as long as you store it properly and handle it properly when it comes in, that's really the key thing. And the other key thing is when you first start this is to get your tanks, your storage tanks, completely cleaned out, because this stuff will, like I said, be a solvent. It doesn't matter if it's in the engine or in the storage tank. It will clean that gunk out of there, and that gunk will eventually get transferred through your system.
Okay. That's a very good point to make. And in terms of the fuel filter situation, is that something where a person needs to have an extra fuel filter and the tools to change it out in the rig with them, or will you see just some loss of performance and now you need to get it back to the shop in the next few days to replace the filter, or might it strand you where you need to have the tools on board in case the fuel filter clogs up suddenly?
Oh, I don't think the latter case is the case at all. It's nothing that's going to happen just within an instant or two. And like I said, we've seen this in about 2 to 4% of the time. So a very, very small percentage of the time will you see this really happen. It's because this has been, those are older vehicles that have been running diesel for so long, they've got a lot of that stuff built up in their engines. Places we deal with mostly have regularly scheduled maintenance. And in that regularly scheduled maintenance in the shop, they may say, you know, this is a little more frequent than normal. We'll pull out that filter. But again, this only happens about 2 to 4% of the time. So there's, you know, 96 to 98% of the time it doesn't happen.
And even though it's not something that I know NBB cites, I have seen citations that there is an extended engine life that can be as a result of using, say, a B20 biodiesel. So that may be something that is out there. Others are citing it. You know, there are long lines at Willie Nelson's truck stop because these owner-operators feel like their engines are going to last longer. So hopefully that will be down the road someplace, too. We'll find that there's a longer extended engine life as a result of using a particular blend of biodiesel.
In theory, it makes sense. We just need to, like you said, we need to see it in practice. We've got millions upon millions upon millions of miles on this, but we still have a lot more to go to prove some of that stuff. But like I said, in theory, you're exactly correct. It should.
Is there anything else that the listeners should know about biodiesel? It sounds like there's no reason, if it's available in their area, to just not give it a try.
One of the things that they probably need to be aware of is on engine warranties. There's been some confusion whether the engine manufacturers will warranty engines with biodiesel in them. What I tell people is that they all have, all the major ones have, the Detroit Diesels, the Cat, the Cummins, people like that, all have statements on the National Biodiesel Board website at biodiesel.org that talk about their warranties, and they'll warranty up to 5%. They want to see experience with 20%, and they're getting there, and we're trying to get a standard for the fuel. It's an ASTM standard, American Society of Testing Materials, standard for blend levels from B6 up to B20. But if the engine were to fail and it's part of the fuel, then they don't warranty that. And they won't warranty it for diesel fuel either. So a lot of people are using B20, and as long as the fuel meets that ASTM standard, and your distributor should know this, and if he doesn't know it, don't accept the fuel, then you're okay. So they will warranty the engines. To my knowledge, and my limited, and I express limited experience with this versus other people who have dealt with this for many, many years, day in, day out, I've never heard of one failing because of the biodiesel.
Okay.
I think it hasn't happened, but I personally have never had that happen, engine failing. So they do warranty up to 5% for sure, and if you want to use B20 or B50, you can go ahead and do it, and as long as the engine runs fine, you're fine.
Okay. And I must add into that when I did the research for the rise of biodiesel, that was the same thing. I could not find engine failures. At all.
Well, that's good to hear.
Well, thank you very much, Richard. That is exactly what people need to know in the sweeping industry about biodiesel, and it sounds like the thing to do is to go out and give it a try. There's very little, if any, downside that I've heard of, and that's certainly confirmed by your expert point of view. I want to thank you very much for your time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you calling and allowing me to talk, and any questions, you can contact me through the National Biodiesel Board.
That makes perfect sense, and I'll put that link on the website. Thanks again.
Okay.